At some point, it gets beyond philosophical agreement, and you step up to the line of true agape, godly love, or you don't. And if Peter had not, the book of Acts would be an entirely different document than it is. And if we do not, our lives and our times will tell an entirely different story than they ought to.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment, but first we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
I have not kept track, which in some ways is funny because I'm a guy to keep track of things, but I have not kept track. I cannot tell you how many weddings I have performed. Hundreds, I'm sure, but I don't know the real number. But I can tell you that every one of those couples I sat down with for a series of meetings in which I led them through some things from a biblical perspective that I believe to be true and very helpful about marriage. And I'm always amazed that when I start this process, especially with the people who are young, like 18, 19 years old, but getting married, and you say, well, why do you want to get married? And of course they say, well, we love each other. And, you know, they don't answer to build a more solid future, to have a better base to expand the kingdom. They say, because we love each other. And so I say to them, okay, tell me, what does that mean that you love one another? And almost none of them can provide any sort of answer. I do remember one couple that said, well, we have so much in common. We love each other because we have so much in common. And I said, well, what do you have in common? We both really love Chinese food. And I didn't say it out loud, but I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's going to hold you together through the tough years. You know, there's going to be this day when she says, you lost the kids' college money gambling. And he's going to say, well, yeah, but we got General Tso for supper tonight, so it's okay, right? Not the way it works. That sort of thing is not really the foundation for love and is perhaps only the very tiniest fragment of what it really means to love one another. Because it's helpful to know at all times, and because it helps set us up for this message that I want to give today, let me rehearse with you real quickly the four different words in the language of the New Testament that we translate into love. And we do this indiscriminately. We just translate them as love and don't recognize always that they're very different words. The first is storge, which refers to an instinctive family kind of love. We learn this early. There are all kinds of people our age about when we are young, but our brothers and sisters and probably our first cousins, we feel differently about them because we have this blood link and we have an instinctive, both built in and developed by association, extra measure of affection for our family. When you have kids, the world is full of kids. And maybe you love all the kids in one sense, but you love your own kids in a special sense because they are yours. And both by instinct and by built associations, we have this extra level of affection for those who are related to us by blood in a family sense. Storge. Second, Second biblical love is eros, from which we get our words erotic, and it is predictably, we discover it as we get a little bit older, that we have a romantic, physical attraction to this other person. And that too is important. Eros teaches us about God in its own way, just as surely as do the other loves. And when I tell people about getting married, I say they need to have all the kinds of love for each other. And it usually begins with eros. It just can't end there. But eros is important. It would be sad to spend the rest of your life staring across the breakfast table at somebody and going, oh. You need to have a physical attraction, eros. The third Greek word that we simply translate love is phileo, from which we get words like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And phileo is the expression of that old saying, birds of a feather flock together. It is easier to have affection for people who think like I think, for people with whom I share assumptions and values and a cultural heritage. The more alike we are, the easier and more natural to feel this kind of brotherly kinship, philosophical agreement sort of love. Much more difficult for the word the Bible uses is the alien, that one who is not like me. I need to love him too, the Bible says, but it's harder, easier, phileo love, those who are like me. And the fourth, and the most important of the New Testament words for love is agape, which is the kind of love that God has for us, an unconquerable good will, an affection that desires that each of us receive the very best possible, that always wants good for us. One of Andrew's favorite verses is there from Jeremiah, where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. Because of his love, he wants to bring us the very best. And he is willing, because of his great love, to pay a price to bring us good. This is agape, that unconquerable goodwill that desires the best and is willing to pay a price to get it for the one loved. Now, all that said, we're ready to look at the passage that Jim read for us. And this takes place in that blessed season for the apostles after the resurrection, before the ascension, when Jesus in his glorified being walked with them for those few weeks in the flesh and taught them and prepared them for that day when he would return to the Father. This conversation takes place during that time, and Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And he adds in this first question, do you love me more than all these other things? These things that are in the world. Do you, Peter, love me? And Peter answers, Lord, you know I love you. And we wonder why Jesus proceeds. After all, Peter said yes. You don't have to be able to read Koine Greek in order to understand your Bibles. The message of salvation is there, plain and clear, simple and true. But there are times when an understanding of the original language can help you get a grip on what's happening in a passage. And this is one of those times, because what Jesus said to Peter was, if I were to read it to you in the Greek, is agapas me. Do you love me with an agape love? the love like God's love that desires only good for the one loved and is willing to pay a price to get that good. Agapas me. Now, before I go any further, Peter has had 3 years now to learn what that means. The first time the word comes up in the gospel according to John is such a familiar verse to you, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus proceeded by teaching example and personal conduct to show his disciples what that kind of love meant, that he would pay any price for their good and for the good of all mankind because he had that godly love. As the lesson proceeds, Jesus says to them, "Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend." And as the end of the 3-year ministry approaches, Jesus tells them repeatedly that he is about to do that very thing. He will lay down his life for them because of his great godly agape love. And they witnessed, and Peter witnessed firsthand, exactly what that meant. A cruel, savage beating, humiliation, and mockery, and a public, barbaric, just as painful as could possibly be conceived to make it, execution. This is the manner in which Jesus laid down his life to demonstrate what agape love, the love of God, really means. And Peter has seen this, that last lesson, just so very recently in the past. And now Jesus says to him, "Do you love me that way, that much? Do you have the same godly love that I have demonstrated for you, that you would pay any price for good for me and mine?" He says, "Agape meh." And Peter answers, "Lord, you know, philo se." I share a common cultural heritage with you, and we understand one another. Do you love me enough to die for me? I share a common cultural heritage with you, and we understand one another. That's the way to hear question and the answer. And Jesus says, "Well then, tend my lambs." And in the second go around, he says, "Shepherd my flock." And in this, Peter gets a reinforcement because Jesus has taught them this lesson as well. How do you tell the difference between the good shepherd and the hireling? It's easy. When danger threatens the flock, the hireling runs away, but the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Peter is hearing this again as Jesus says to him the second time, "Agapas me, do you love me with that great godly love that will pay any price for good for me and mine?" And Peter answers the second time, "Lord, you know, philo se." You believe in the authority of the Old Testament scriptures? I believe in the authority of the Old Testament scriptures. We have that in common. Will you die for me? Well, we believe most of the same things. That's the way to hear the question and the answer. Peter knows what is required of him if he says yes. And Jesus says it the second time, "Shepherd my flock." And something needs to give. Jesus is inviting Peter to the precipice of absolute godly love, and Peter is very reluctant to step up to that precipice at this moment, and something needs to give. So Jesus asks the third time. He says, Simon Peter, Phileas, meh. Jesus changes. Instead of agape, he asks, do you love me? With this birds of a feather, philosophical kind of love that you're talking about. Now, if you read this, it says that Peter was grieved, and here we miss it in the English. He was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, Phileas, meh. And the idea is he was grieved because Jesus did not repeat what he said the first two times, agapas, meh, but changed to Phileas, meh. Jesus reduces the request to the level at which Peter is currently willing to operate. And what you need to hear there is, well, do you really even love me this way? Because if you believed all the things that I believe, if you hold all the values that I hold, if you were truly my brother in all matters of spiritual truth, if that was really true, you wouldn't be having such a hard time answering this question. But Peter says, Lord, you know all things. And you know this, Philo, Seth, I love you. In that philosophical, birds of a feather kind of way. And then Jesus says, well then, feed my sheep. Now here's the great thing. The gospel according to John is about to draw to an end. I've been preaching from this gospel now for 18, 19 months, and next week will be the final sermon from the gospel according to John. And we'll move on to something else. The gospel of John is about to come to an end. And as far as it goes, it ends with this sort of disappointing note that Peter just couldn't step up to the line as one would hope he might. But the book of Acts begins, and the Holy Spirit falls upon Peter. And by chapter 4, Peter is saying to the authorities of his society, beat me if you must, jail me if you will, kill me if you have to. I cannot but preach Christ, whom I have seen and known and loved. And Peter will become that man who loves Christ to the point of readiness to lay down his own life. And he will lay down his own life. Historical traditions tell us crucified as his Lord and Master was crucified. Peter will make the step. But for this moment, he was stuck, unable to honestly say, yes, I love you with the great godly love that will pay any price for the good of you and yours. It is the question of the ages. It is the question for all the world. Every man, woman, and child of every generation from the first chapter of Genesis to the end of the present creation, do you love Jesus Christ? And I ask you this morning, do you love him? But let's have an honest evaluation. Do you love him in the sense of agreeing with his teachings and assuming his values and feeling that if you walk in his steps, you will be part of a bigger and more just society? Do you love him in that phileo sort of way? And I hope you do. But do you also love him with an unconquerable goodwill that will pay any price for his good and for the good of those who are his? We have to know. Are we ready to step up to that line? Or are we stuck like Peter was stuck at the end of the Gospel according to John? Yesterday, we had hoped to plant potatoes in the garden. We didn't quite get able to do it because the ground is just not dry enough yesterday, but hopefully soon we will get that done. And in days to come, those potatoes will sprout and they will need cultivated. And in time to come, they will produce and they will need dug and they will need weighed and they will need bagged and they will need delivered to the places in this county that give food to the hungry. Do you love him enough to weed potatoes and dig potatoes and deliver potatoes and all the rest of the garden produce so that a hungry flock can be fed? Because here's the thing. You can't see the flock hungry and not feed them and still claim that you love him with a love that would pay the price for the good of he and his. You can't see the flock threatened and fail to defend it and still claim to love him with a self-sacrificial, unconquerable goodwill that would pay any price for the good of he and his. You cannot see the flock scattered and fail to bring it back together and still claim to love him with the godly agape love of God that wishes always to prosper the one loved and all those who are his. Do we love him enough to see our faith promise giving through and increase it in the coming year so that through the Columbian Christian Mission, the Christian Children's Home of Ohio, the Cross-Eyed Mission, and the Pregnancy Center of Alliance, his work will continue and his lambs be tended? Do we love him that much? At some point, it gets beyond philosophical agreement, and you step up to the line of true agape, godly love, or you don't. And if Peter had not, the book of Acts would be an entirely different document than it is. And if we do not, our lives and our times will tell an entirely different story than they ought to. So ask yourself again, but ask it right. Agapas se, do you love him? And if the answer isn't what you know it should be, I'm going to invite you, as I have these past weeks, to stay here in just a little bit. Stay right where you are when everyone else is gone. And we will come to you in your car and we'll talk about the way forward.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.